Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, if you brought your Bible, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10. And, you know, tonight is I think it's a simple message, but I think it's important. I think it's profound. I think that it'll definitely help you in your life. Who knows? We may get out of here a little bit early tonight. Can anybody say amen to that? Of course, as a preacher, I've been known to overpromise and underdeliver when it comes to my timing. But at any rate, we'll see what the Lord has in store. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10. We're going to read a few verses. Actually, we're going to read all the way through verse number 17. It says this. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." You know, sometimes I think that we fail to realize the advantage and privilege we have as being part of the family of God and having access to the mysteries and the things of the kingdom of heaven, whereas others who are not part of the family of God do not. Amen. Moving right along. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." Speaking of overflow, right? This is the overflow service, abundance. "But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them.'" Verse number 16, but, and that is a fantastic but right there. Amen. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Tonight I want to talk to you from the subject of an overflow of hearing. An overflow of hearing. You know, last week, I just want to say from the pulpit, last week, Pastor Joel did a fantastic job talking about overflow. And if you didn't get it, you've got to get it. And I love this idea that he brought forth that, you know what, overflow shouldn't just be a moment in time for us. It shouldn't be, you know, once in a blue moon where we experience God's overflow. We are supposed to live the overflow life, live in the overflow. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it more abundantly so that we can walk in that each and every day." And so I want to kind of build on that today and bring some specificity to you and I as to what that looks like. Amen. How many of you know that when it comes to normal living, hearing is important? I mean, most of us in here, I'd venture to say, I would assume that most of us in here do not have ear problems. Now, if you do, this is not to talk down on you or exploit you or anything like that, but I think the great majority of us are able to hear pretty well. And I think that hearing, by and large, is taken for granted. Can you imagine what life would be like and how much more difficult life would be if you were not able to hear? And the same thing is true when it comes to our lives spiritually. When we are not able to hear the voice of God, when we are not able to perceive truth, when we are not able to catch what the Spirit is saying to the church today, our life can become difficult. Our life can become very arduous and lose clarity, lose purpose, lose vision. But the opposite is true. When we are able to hear God's voice, come on, somebody. And when we're able to recognize truth and hear what the Spirit is saying, our lives can get all the better. Amen. And so hearing is so vital and so important when it comes to our lives. Now, lately I've been intrigued with this idea of people or of a person. If you took a person who is able to hear, A person who is able to hear, they have all the faculties necessary for hearing. Their hearing is fine. You could take them to the doctor. The doctor could check them out. Their hearing will be 100%. It's amazing to me this idea of people who have all the necessary faculties for hearing, yet still are not able to hear. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in these passages. In hearing, you will hear, but you won't hear. How is that possible? I just don't understand. And so I've been thinking about that recently. Well, recently, actually, I was with my family in the car, and we were listening to one of my current favorite worship songs. And it's a slow song, and toward the end, there's this guitar line that I just think really helps to make the song. You know, it's just a fantastic guitar line, and I just love it every time it comes. Obviously, I'm the worship pastor here. I like music. I like instrumentals. And so this guitar line comes along, and I start to play my air guitar. Do I have any air guitar players in the house today? When your favorite guitar part comes on, or maybe you're an air drummer and you start to play, am I the only one? Okay, all right. Well then, hey, this is my story, all right? So you're just along for the ride. But the part comes where this guitar part starts to play, and I start to play my air guitar, and I lean over to my wife who's in the passenger seat, and I say, babe, do you hear that guitar line? Isn't that amazing? And I'm doing this number in the car, probably closing my eyes a little bit, or I should be watching the road, but do you hear that guitar line? And so I start to listen to it again, and I'm doing this, and I'm waiting for a response. Now this guitar line, it's pretty long. It's probably like 30, maybe 45, maybe 60 seconds long, so it's a good amount of time. So I lean over again, I go, babe, do you hear that guitar line? It is amazing. And I start to hum the guitar line while I'm playing my air guitar and driving down the freeway. Still no response. Now, so you understand what's going on here. My wife is on her phone. And so I wait a few more moments. I told you she was gonna get it tonight. And so, sorry, babe, but tonight I have the mic. Oh man, I've already prepared my bed tonight on the couch. All right, just kidding. So I say a third time, I say, babe, do you hear that guitar line? I hear it, Joe. And I said back to her, I said, you heard it, but you weren't listening. All right, now, to be fair, because some of you are like grunting, you feel like real uncomfortable. I can see you squirming in your chair like, I get your point, but this is awkward. All right, I'm 10 times more guilty of getting distracted during conversations with my phone and other things, so I have no right to complain. But you understand the point, right? You can hear, but not really be listening. I thought about titling this message, "Do You Understand the Words That Are Coming Out of My Mouth?" If you've ever seen Rush Hour, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and I just dated myself just a little bit. Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I wonder if sometimes God doesn't feel that exact way when it comes to your life and mine, where he just wanted to kind of grab us and shake us just a little bit and say, do you understand? Are you catching? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? I even consider titling the message tonight, The Art of Listening. I feel like today's generation, when it comes to listening has become a lost art. We live in a generation today, and there's no middle ground. There's no sitting down. There's no having a conversation and hearing out the other side in order to work things out with an opposing opinion, an opposing party. And the moment we begin to say certain terms or use certain phrases, it doesn't matter what your intention is, what's in your heart, what you're shooting for. We start to hurl these accusations, and we start to throw out these labels. You're a racist. You're a sexist. That's hate speech, and we're not listening to one another. All the while, the divide between us is growing greater. Whereas, if we were to sit down and actually listen to the people on the other side, we might find some common ground. We might find, some solutions and a way to work some things out in this country, right? Especially in this country. James chapter 1, verse number 19 says this. I'm sorry, I got the wrong page here. It says, let every man, let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So then, beloved brethren, let every man, every woman, every person be swift to hear. God wants this characteristic in your life. God wants this virtue in your life, that when it comes to you approaching your life, that you lead your life with your ears. God is looking for you. Let me say that again, because that was really, really good. I hate to shout down the preacher up here because that's kind of awkward. Where's my choir at? All right. Because that was really good. God wants you and I to lead with our ears. God does not want us to lead with our anger. God does not want us to lead with our words. God wants us to lead with our ears. How well are we listening tonight? Amen. It's amazing to me because we live in this we live in this culture where, you know, we celebrate the quick response, don't we? We celebrate the fast answer, the witty response. Bam, I got you back. Bam, I knew just what to say. Bam, I knew how to counter you. Bam, I got you. And we celebrate that. Can I just be honest with you? When it comes to my life, I have found that the quicker I respond, the more opportunity I have to respond according to the flesh. But the slower I am to respond, the quicker I am to listen and to hear what's being said and to take some time to think about what's going on, the better opportunity I have, okay, to respond according to my born-again heart and to the principles of God. God wants us to lead with our hearing. I learned of a disease recently, and it's called auditory neuropathy. Now, we're not here to glorify disease, sickness and disease, or celebrate sickness and disease. I believe that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I believe that there is healing for all right? But this disease is interesting, okay, in that it has to do with the nerve that is responsible for transmitting the things that you hear to your brain. Now, you got to get a picture of this, because the problem doesn't have to do with the ear. The ear can hear. It has to do with the nerve that's between the ear and the brain that's responsible for transmitting what you hear to your brain so that you can understand. And if that nerve is damaged, or if that nerve has an issue, your hearing can be perfectly fine. It's just not coming through to your brain like it's supposed to, and you're not able to understand. Very interesting. And I think the same is true when it comes, again, to our spiritual lives. Oftentimes there's this thing that's in the way of our hearing, and we're not able to really hear and understand what God wants us to hear. You know, sometimes today it's not a matter of us not being able to hear. We can hear. Today it's not a matter of whether or not God is speaking. God is speaking. Today, it's not a matter of whether or not truth is available to us. The truth is out there. You might even go as far as to say, the truth has come. Come on, somebody. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20. If we can pop it up. It says this. It says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. Wow, truth is out there. Truth is accessible. God is speaking. The Spirit is here. He is present, and he is speaking to his church. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? I love what Jesus said, going back to, you're there in Matthew chapter 13. He says this. He says, blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. Many prophets and many righteous people have desired to hear what you hear today, church. What you hear today as it relates to the kingdom of God. What you hear today as it relates to Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why I'm so thankful we're going through a series on the weekend mornings talking about the mystery of Christ. These things prophets and righteous men of old desired to hear, but they were not able to hear because it wasn't the time. But my friends, the time has come. The time has come for the mystery to be revealed in its fullness, for the things of the kingdom of God to be declared. For Jesus, he has revealed himself. Come on, God is speaking from heaven. The Spirit is active. The question is, are we listening? What a privilege it is to be able to hear what God wants us to hear. I love this other verse in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. And Paul is talking about this experience he had where he was caught up into the third heaven. And Paul says, when I was caught up, he says, I heard inexpressible words, which it is unlawful for a man to repeat. And I've often thought to myself, Paul, why did you bother to share this story if you couldn't tell us what you heard? Why? And there's a couple of reasons why I believe that he did. I think number one, because he wanted to wet our whistle just a little bit. And he wanted to begin to spark a desire within us to hear what God is saying to us today. Amen. The second reason why I think he didn't tell us is because, you see, one day or another, you're gonna have to hear for yourself. There comes a time in a person's life where, hey, I'm done quoting Joel Osteen. I'm done quoting T.D. Jakes. I'm done quoting Stephen Furtick. Come on, we have too many Stephen Furtick puppets running around the church everywhere talking about the last thing that Stephen... I'm subscribed to Stephen Furtick's podcast. I like Stephen Furtick. But when does a time come when we're able to say, hey, I know for myself, this is what God says, and so this is what I'm going to do in my life because this is his word to me. For this season of life, there comes a time where you realize, hey, you know, these wonderful things, they're supplementary to my life, but I've got to hear for myself. I've got to have a revelation of who Christ Jesus is for myself. Amen. I've got to know more for myself. I believe that's why Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Great. Who do you say that I am? What a blessing it is to be able to hear. How precious to truly hear what God is wanting to say. So today I just got a few points and we're gonna go through them quickly. All right? And we're gonna approach them this way. An overflow of hearing happens, number one, when we realize our need to hear God's voice. Please understand today that when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about hearing truth. We're talking about, again, hearing God's voice. We're talking today about finding God's truth. We're not here to talk about my truth. We're not here to talk about your truth, society's truth, the truth of the culture, the so-called truth that, you know, humanity has evolved into understanding. We're talking about the truth of God tonight. Amen. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The truth is in Jesus Christ. And we're talking about hearing what the Spirit of God wants to say to you and to me. So an overflow of hearing happens when, number one, we realize our need to hear God's voice. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, this has been one of my favorite verses since I was little. Something that I remember my dad sitting down and talking to me about. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4 says, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let me just take a time out and bring this idea to you. Just because you exist does not mean you have life. Just because air is going in my lungs. Lungs are going in my air. air is going in my lungs. Does not mean I have life. The Bible says that you can be alive and be dead while you live. Man, thank God for new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that, and the word is, proceeds from the mouth of God. I like that word proceeds. That word proceeds is a present tense word. It is speaking about the now word of God. It is speaking about what God is saying today. You might say it this way, that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that is going out of the mouth of God. Not the word that went out of the mouth of God a long time ago, or the word that's going to come out of the mouth of God, but the word that is currently coming out of the mouth of God. That's what's going to cause you to come to life. That's what's going to bring life, as Jesus said, life more abundantly into fullness and into reality in your life when God speaks a word to you. In order for us to get a hold of that, we're going to have to hear it. All right? God is speaking. Today, God is speaking. Today, God has a word for you. God has a word, a now word. God has a today word for you. God has a word for you in the season that you're in. I got good news for some people out there. God has a word for the season that you're in, single people. God has a word for the season that you're in, married people, married with children people. God has a word for the season that you're in, college student. Come on, somebody. God has a word for the season that you're in, man and businesswoman. You're getting ready to do a business endeavor. God has a word for you. God has a word for your specific life and your specific situation today. And oh, how we need that word, because that word will sustain you. That word will direct you. That word will give you purpose, will give you clarity. That word will keep you strong when the world around you is falling apart. Come on, somebody. We need the word. And without it, we suffer. And we kind of, struggle our way through life. But God has a now word for you and for me. I like what Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15. Actually, chapter 4, verse number 7 says the same thing. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Today. The emphasis is on today. Today, if you will hear his voice. This day. This hour. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God has a word for you in this season. An overflow of hearing happens, number two, when we're careful how we hear. I actually want to take you here. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse number 18. Luke chapter 8, verse number 18. Talking about hearing God's voice. We have all the hearing faculties, but many times we are failing to really listen. When we hear, we come into this overflow life. How does it happen? When we realize our need to hear God's voice. And number two, when we're careful how we hear. Look at what Jesus says here. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. Interesting, this phrase. Take heed how you hear. You know, I've been pastoring since, 2009, 2010. And most of my time has been over with the young adults and the youth ministry. And over the course of my pastorate, if you want to call that, or my ministry, I have placed an emphasis on being careful what you hear. How many know it's important to be careful what comes in the ear gate? These are gates. These are doors. This is the access point, our eyes and our ears, to our soul and to our spirit. And we need to be very careful what we're allowing in. Come on, you just can't have an open funnel and just let anything and everything come on in and just be like, it's not going to work, right? But interesting that Jesus doesn't place the emphasis here on what you hear, but he places the emphasis on how you hear. How you hear. It's very important that we take time to evaluate how we're hearing, what we're hearing. A lot of people already have their mind made up when they come to church. A lot of people approach, it's amazing the kinds of filters and opinions we approach the Word of God with. And as long as our minds are made up before we, approach God's word in a negative way, we're going to have a hard time hearing. You know, when we approach God, well, I this is not going to work. This is wrong. How about this one? I've heard this one a lot. You know, the word of God, hey, that's really nice, but, it's really irrelevant now. And these kinds of things keep us from being able to hear what God is saying and the truth that is being spoken. Be careful how you hear. You know what? Not everything that you hear is going to be true, right? But if you're careful how you hear, you'll be able to weed that out, throw it out, and be able to move on with your life. And if you're careful how you hear, you'll be able to recognize truth when it is spoken and receive it and bring forth fruit in your life. So it's very important that we're careful how we are hearing along with what we are hearing, okay? So he says, we're careful, an overflow of hearing happens when we're careful how we hear. Can I just add this little point before we move on? Hearing is a hard thing. Speaking of how you hear, hearing is a hard thing. And we need to learn how to listen with our hearts. A great minister once said, he said, many people have educated their heads at the expense of their hearts. And hearing really is a heart thing. Are you approaching the word of God with an open heart? You know, I'm reminded of some other verses. I know I use a lot of verses in my messages, but that's just who I am for now. And Paul talked about, you know, the Corinthian church and not being able to have an openness to the things of God. Because their hearts were in a wrong place. Their hearts were, you know, polluted, if you will, with all kinds of different things that were not allowing them to hear. And we need to realize that hearing is a heart thing. Number three, an overflow of hearing happens when, number three, we do something with what we hear. We do something with what we hear. It's not good enough just to hear. You have to do something with what you hear. You're there in Luke chapter 8, right? Right? All right, let's go to verse number 15. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 18. Okay, 18 is where we want to get to, but verse number 15 brings us some context. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. It says, "But the one that fell on the good," "but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Notice here. I know I've said a couple things, so let me just go back through them, all right? Hearing is a heart thing. Notice what he says. He says, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart. All right, so we have that element. We have that aspect, right? Look what he goes on to say now. They kept it, what they heard, and they bore fruit with patience. They kept what they heard, and they did something with it. Now let's read verse number 18. "Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has what? For whoever has, to him more will be given. Has what? Has fruit. Has taken what they've heard, and they've applied it to their life, and they've borne fruit. Whoever has, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he does have, which is what? Just hearing, will be taken away from him." You see, when we take what we've heard and we apply it to our life and we bear fruit, all of a sudden that becomes a building block for us to go to the next level and for us to go to another step, for God to say, all right, now that you've got that, let me add this to that. But as long as we are hearing and doing nothing, we have nothing to show for. You know, we don't have time to go there, but James chapter 1 talks about, you know, when we're a hearer and not a doer of the word, we deceive ourselves, right? So there has to be this element, not just of hearing. Yes, hearing is half the battle, but then you have to do something with what you've heard. And as you begin to bear fruit, all of a sudden God says, now you've entered into a position where I can add more to that. And how many know that as God begins to add more, that how many would raise your hand and say, that sounds like the abundant life to me. That sounds like an overflow life to me. When I'm hearing and when I'm doing something with it, right? And God continues to add to my life, all right? So we've got to do something with what we hear if we want to have this overflow of hearing that we're talking about. It was very interesting, this in between Malachi and Matthew, there's this 400 years, they call it the 400 years of silence. Nothing happened. It's just like 400 years and there was no prophet. God wasn't speaking. And it was just like, where's God? What happened to God? What's going on? What are we supposed to do? It's interesting because actually the prophets, Malachi, Joel, these guys prophesied about this coming drought. And they said, there's coming a famine in the land. And it's not a famine of food and water, but it's a famine of hearing the word of God. Come on, that's what we're talking about tonight, right? We're talking about hearing, all right? And remember, we're also talking about doing something with what you have heard. And so there's this 400 years of nothingness, seemingly. Of course, we know that God had a plan all along. God knew exactly what he was doing, and Christ came at exactly the right time. But essentially what God was saying when he stopped talking was, I've already said all I can say to you. Now it's time for you to go and do what I said for you to do. So it's no wonder sometimes we lack in our hearing because we've stopped doing what God said to do the last time he spoke. And so today I want to say to you that if you're struggling at hearing what God has for you today, hearing that now word we talked about, the word for this season, maybe go back to the last thing that God told you to do. And maybe evaluate how well you put that to practice in your life. And I would venture to say that as you begin to do what God said, all of a sudden, just like we read, God's going to start to add more to you. And you're going to start to hear God's voice. And you're going to start to find your rhythm and start to find your direction once again. An overflow of hearing happens when we do something with what we hear. And finally tonight, an overflow of hearing happens when we want to hear. When we want to hear. I just want to share a testimony as it relates to this point. I grew up in the church, and so I'm a church boy, if you will. And in my high school years, going back to my high school years, I remember taking a time. I think I must have been a sophomore or junior, and I went with my cousin to Irvine, and there's this conference. Cousin's sitting over there, and went to this conference, and. All these guys are, you know, all the guest speakers are talking about the conversations that they're having with God, right? Some of them are pretty detailed too. This like, wow, you said all that and he said all that. Wow, that's amazing. It's just like, you know, this huge story. And I remember, you know, as I went through the days of this conference, thinking to myself, you know, actually a couple of things. Number one, I want to experience what these guys are talking about, and I want to have this. You know, this dialogue or this open dialogue with God. And the second thing I was thinking was, so how come it hasn't happened? What's going on? If I could just be 100% transparent tonight, it kind of bothered me. And I kind of thought to myself, well, what am I doing wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Why, you know, is it that God wants to speak to them and not to me? I mean, what's going on? And so after one of the nights of the conference, and I think Chris remembers this. Yeah, just shake your head. Yes, just, yeah. Okay, all right, he does. All right. you know, we just had kind of like a one-on-one. We took a walk. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, I was a little distraught over it. And I started to cry. And I said, you know, Chris, I just don't understand. And he didn't give me the answer, okay, to hearing God's voice, but he did tell me what I needed to hear in that moment. And he said, you know what, Joey, you're normal. When it comes to hearing God's voice, perceiving truth, hearing the Spirit, right? I think sometimes we can make these things, you know, these things are easier said than done, if you will. And we are all learning and we are all growing in our relationship with God. And so tonight we're talking a lot about hearing the voice of God. And I don't want anybody walking out of this place like, well, I haven't heard God speak to me, so I must be doomed for life or something like that. Okay, we're all learning. God's not done working on any of us yet. Are you thankful today? And so that was the word that, hey, you're normal. This is a learning process. This is a growing process in our relationship with God. You're normal. And is what I needed to hear for that season. Well, fast forward a number of years, three or four. I find myself in Bible college. And I just, you know, the second year of Bible college is about to start. And I went to another church conference. Don't you just like how God does things? Okay, two people. All right. And the opening night, the speaker got up to talk about, guess what? Hearing the voice of God. And in his opening remarks, he said, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. I'm not one of these that has long, drawn-out conversations with God. He's talking to me. Right? This is one of the things that I, right? And so he began to share just some of the little things that God spoke to him. And he said, you know what, for me, what God speaks to me usually are just little parts of verses that I know. And the first one he uses, actually, he said, I was driving in my car, and keep in mind, this is like 16 years ago, so you can tell it was a moment for me. I remember 16 years ago what was happening and everything he was saying, right? So he says, you know, God spoke to me, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven. Just three simple words, or maybe that's four. Anyways, as it is, five, all right. Getting longer as we go. As it is in heaven. And he knew to go back to the word of God and to find where that was. And as he read, he found Jesus's prayer, right? God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he began to realize what God was saying. Hey, there's some elements in your life that you have just accepted as normal, and I want to usher in the kingdom of God into your life. So what does heaven look like? Because that's what I want it to look like in your life. How many realize today that when it comes to hearing the voice of God, the primary way God is going to speak to you is through the written word, right? And if you're hearing things that do not line up with the written word, my friend, let me help you out. You're hearing the wrong thing, okay? This is how God speaks. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't speak anything outside of, you know, chapter and verse, but you understand, as it is, you know, in accordance with, God will never violate his written word. You know, it's kind of funny because Pastor Jim just wrote a book, and as a staff, we're starting to read through it. And you know, it's funny, as I read the book, I can hear Pastor Jim's voice in the book. You know where I'm going with this, right? Because when I read this book, even though I've never seen him, this book puts me in tune. It works vice versa. This book puts me in tune with the voice of God so that when God speaks, I recognize. Amen. And so the minister went on, and he ended with this little phrase that God spoke to him. All right? And it's out of Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear to hear. That was the little phrase. He went and looked it up, read this verse. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And in that moment, my t-shirt, I didn't have a t-shirt on at Rhema. We had to wear collared shirt and ties and all kind of stuff. My shirt was drenched with tears because I realized I'd been hearing God's voice all along. How did I get to where I was? How did all of this happen? Because I was hearing. I wasn't perfect. I'm not saying I was perfect. But I had been hearing the voice of God. I had been hearing the Spirit of God. I had been hearing the truth. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have ended up where I ended up, second year of Bible college. Now, how did I realize that? Because this verse drove it home. He who has an ear to hear. I'm sorry, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So my question to you tonight is, do you have an ear? Do you? Okay, three people. All right, you guys got to help me, all right? Do you have an ear? Then do you know what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says? Let him hear. Bottom line, let him hear. Come on, God wants you to, it is God's will for you to hear his voice, for you to perceive truth, for you to catch the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? If you got something good from God's word, come on, let's give Jesus a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.